Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, your host of Ask a Coach, the Windermere podcast. In this podcast, we'll tackle some of your toughest real estate questions. Each episode will provide you with detailed answers and proven solutions to some of the biggest challenges facing realtors today. Thank you for listening.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning with the Windermere Ask a Coach. And this is our podcast where we talk about some of the toughest real estate questions that are out there. And we come up with some solutions and strategies to help you move forward to have great work-life balance. And I'm so thrilled today because I have Nick Hansen and Doug Simcock with me. Hey, guys.
Howdy, Michael.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have a conversation today. But the purpose of this podcast is we do see a shift in the market. And so we want to make sure that you're kind of understanding some of the strategies to help you kind of weather this shift in the market and deal specifically. We're going to talk today about sellers. Then we're going to do a part two and we're going to talk about buyers. But first of all is I would say this one is don't panic. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So getting some clarity around the narrative of what's really happening versus what the news might be saying. So you want to get in front of what we call get in front of the gossip. Switch up your sales strategy, right? So we're going to talk about a few things that Nick and Doug have talked about that they're seeing specifically happen. Some with our coaching clients, Doug actually runs a real estate office in Walla Walla, Washington, and he's going to talk about some things he's seeing with his agents and his marketplace. And I'll talk about some of the things with our clients as well. So first off, let's just talk about this to get started. Let's talk about get in front of the panic. So what's the news? What are we hearing the news say about what's happening with this market right now? What have you guys been hearing or what have your agents been saying that their sellers have been saying?
Well, one of the stories that it was a headline, I think it was an article that actually was Wall Street Journal, and it was prices are falling in 12 major markets in the United States. And so that's the messaging. Now, when you dug into the article, what they really meant, and this would apply to sellers, what they were really covering was how many price reductions are taking place right now compared to how many price reductions were taking place a year ago. And so because they were seeing more price reductions, they were saying, kind of giving this feeling that prices are falling. Now, if you actually track it, it really, prices are still increasing. It's just the rate of increasing has stopped. Or slowed, the rate of increase has slowed, but they were simply drawing the conclusion that because a seller has to reduce a price, that prices are falling, and that's not what's happening at all, that prices are still going up, just at a slower rate of growth.
Right. Well, and I would say I've got some headlines here in front of me, and what is interesting is you see the negative words that they use. So this was the Motley Fool says, three charts that show why a housing market may be falling. So they're saying falling, right? There's Yahoo News that says is a housing bubble brewing, local real estate execs weigh in. The insider said, will the housing market crash? Here are the bull and the bear cases. Investing strategies calls weak housing market an ominous sign of a recession, right? These are headlines.
there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think one of our jobs in this profession is this is an awesome time to be the trusted advisor. So be prepared that your clients will reach out or when you run into them and they're going to ask you. And so, be prepared to give the facts of actually what's going on in your market. And I think that's what people want to hear and need to hear. And I would suggest too, one other thing is make sure you have your crystal ball. What do you believe is going to happen between now and the end of the year? What does your office or what does your company believe that's going to happen between now and the end of the year? Because a lot of that can come back and be a calming effect back to your people instead of a panic.
Right. And you make a great point, Nick, is that, you know, a lot of the stuff that comes from the headlines is macro. You know, get micro in your data and really boil it down to your specific area, because real estate is different everywhere and it changes, like we know, day to day, week to week, month to month. And so understand that. And that's a great narrative to use. And don't be the spreader of the negative narrative, right? And I think that's another thing I would say is that, you know, don't dive into this is crazy or you know, prices are falling. I mean, be very aware of the words you choose to use and how you choose to communicate with your clients as well, because you could be creating some of that frenzy on top of the media as well. All right, so let's talk about this. So a couple things coming up. So now we have a market. So let's talk about some of the things we're seeing. Doug, you mentioned them. What are you seeing right now, this indicators, right, that we still have an appreciating seller's market, but it's a slowing appreciation? Talk to me about some of the indicators you talked about earlier.
Yeah, so right now, you know, I think it'd be great as a trusted advisor for everybody in their market. And this helps you, you know, if you hear those stories, kind of we were just given the headlines, it helps you kind of get grounded in what's really happening, and that's to go to your stats. So a couple of key things to look at is what's happening with your average days on market in your marketplace right now. Like look at closings the last 30 days, what were the average days on market? And then look at it on a month-to-month basis and also a year-over-year. I like doing both of those. You can see the trend line, what happened last month, the previous month, and kind of where are we? You know, so days on market is a great one. How about number of closed transactions? What we're seeing is days on market in many areas. It's true here. Days on market are creeping up just a little bit over what we've seen. This is that transition. We've seen number of sales declining just a little bit when you look at last compared to last year's pace. We're seeing the number of price reductions increasing. And how does that compare to the number of homes that had price reductions last month? What was it? What were you experiencing a year ago? How about this? An increased number of unsold listings. So we're seeing inventory creep up. Now, when I say creep up, we're still a seller's market. We're still strong buyer demand, but we're seeing listings start to creep up, right? There's more competition for a seller when they bring their home to market. And so those are just a couple places to start that not only give you confidence, but now helps you create a story with some, you know, micro data, like, you know, for your area that you can show your seller to tell the story.
Right. And I think the one point that you brought up is when we start seeing competition or inventory go up a little bit, and we also see days on market start to go up, it comes back to a topic that Nick, you were talking about, is how are we educating our seller, right? And setting clear expectations up front that guess what? You know, we're in a bit of a market that's shifting in terms of less appreciation, but it's still a seller's market. So what are the conversations we're having up front to make sure that they understand, hey, there may be some things we have to do differently as time moves forward?
Yeah. I mean, before I dive into that, I want to follow up on Doug's thing. So when you hear the word, we're seeing an increase in price reductions, does that mean that homes are going down in value? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, think about some of the sellers that are selling today think they want to top out at the top of the market and they're asking for that lottery price. So when we see price reductions, that doesn't mean that home values are going down necessarily. So be careful with that. But I have a few things that I've the last few weeks that have hit me with my, you know, clientele all around the country. And I think we really need to dial in a few things in our listing consultation. In many markets, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, we could sit down and confidently say we're going to get about 3 to 5 offers. And then we're going to basically, you know, offers are going to be in a very competitive. We have three or five offers today. In a lot of the markets, our expectations should be, listen, we're going to price at fair market value and we're looking for one offer.
Right.
If we get one offer, guess what? We're in good shape. So be careful setting an expectation that may not happen. I mean, so most of the country is trending towards, we're going to list at fair market value and we're going to hope for that one offer and get under contract. Another trend I'm seeing is often we get a call that says, hey, Doug, we want to list our house. And and then we start the process and they want to know the value of their house today. And yet the house is not going on the market until 30 or 45 days later. One of the things we've got to be careful with is we can price the house today. That's what they want. All right. So we're going to give it to them. But after we go through pricing of the house today, we got to say, listen, we're going to do this again in 30 days, or we're going to do this again in 45 days. And they may go, well, why would we do that? Well, guess what? Markets change. And in fact, when we meet in 45 days from now, I might ask you to erase everything we talked about on the pricing of your home because the market has changed that much. Mm-hmm. So think about, make sure if you go out and solve for price today and it's not going on for 30 or 45 days, you got to get the seller to understand you're going to meet again.
Yes.
Right. Third is for some of you more experienced realtors, this is going to be a reminder for the newer agents. Like in the last 2 or 3 years, you're going to go, what are you talking about? But I think another thing is as days on the market starts going up, we bring in something that's called seller communication on a weekly basis.
Exactly.
Can you imagine that? I list a house and it's not under contract in 7 days. So bring in your seller communication, which I recommend that you pick out like a half a day. For me personally, I like to say, hey, on Thursdays before noon, you're going to hear from me. We're going to get a text, email, telephone call. I'll fill you in with what's going on. So my third thing, if you haven't already, start discussing seller communication and what your commitment back to the seller is going to be over the next several weeks.
Yeah, and I love it. In fact, I see a lot of agents now inside their listing books and their seller book or buyer books, they have a page called My Communication Schedule, which is just something now that just triggers my mind to go over it when we're having our consultation. Say, by the way, we need to set up a consistent communication schedule.
One of the things I like, Michael, is to what Nick's talking about. So you list a home and, when you list a home, you do a comparative market analysis. I think it's important then to start tracking what I like to call a competitive market analysis. Like, because once a home goes on the market, if you get, let's say it's 14 days when you list the home is the average days on market for that home, but you get to 14 days and it hasn't sold, you need to help your client know why. So maybe if it's 21 days, what happens if it's not sold in 21 days? That's when I think it's great to sit down with the seller and do what I call a competitive market analysis, because if you haven't sold, you're not competing strongly given the current dynamics. And so what I love to do, what does that look like? So yeah, you're checking in with the seller, you're having communication, and we've forgotten how to do this too. We haven't needed to do it because it's been moving so fast. But when you sit down with that seller to see how they're competing, there's a couple things. Since we listed, what's happened? So since we listed 3 weeks ago, how many homes in your price range have gone under contract? How many more were listed, came to market, how many went pending? Right. And try to get a feel. And I like doing that by price versus what's comparable, because maybe the homes that are selling, it shows that they have an additional bedroom. Maybe the homes that are selling show that we're missing the market because it's new construction versus resale. So by price, are we competing? When they look at my home at this price, are we competing strongly? And if we're still on the market, it means we're not competing strong enough and we need to address something.
Yeah, I had an agent one time say to me, the market's clearly speaking to us. And the problem is we're on the market, we're not in the market, right? I mean, there's a big difference, yeah. Right? We're on the market, but we're not in the market. And I've got some data to help you. And I think two key things come from that I just want to add. Is that I want everybody to realize as we're having these conversations, we're not saying I and making us be the person that's telling them what's happening. We have to make sure that we're letting them know the market is telling us this story. The market is telling us this story. And, I was reading a great article the other day that just said, here's reasons why your home won't sell. And they're really simple. One is price. Pretty clear, right? And so as we go through this dynamic of the market kind of shifting a little bit, price becomes a really, really key point that we have to look at. The other one is the condition of the house, right? If the buyers are getting, if inventory is creeping up a little bit, it means the buyers have more opportunity and there's more selection. Therefore, is your condition at the top of its game? The other one is, how motivated are the sellers? you know, are these people there, like you said, Nick, are they looking for that lottery home sale? Just, hey, let's see if we can get it, roll the dice. Or are they truly motivated to a reason why they need to move? And the other one is what is your marketing plan? You know, Doug, you talked about this. You know, it was, hey, let's just put a sign in the yard. We're going to get multiple offers. It's going to sell. Well, guess what? Now we got to have a listing launch. What's your marketing plan look like? And then to Nick's point, how well are you communicating expectations at the beginning and then through the process? And if we need to, crucial conversations when we get to those days on market and the home hasn't sold.
You know, Michael, I want to, if it's okay, I want to add one other thing. So we've talked a little bit about the listing consultation and all that. And I just want to add one other thing for solving for price. Solving for price on a listing in a really quickly changing market. One additional thing that you must be aware of is, let's say I get the call today, or I got the call and we're going to go on the market 30 days. One of the things that we need to do is, if I see something that pops up live before mine goes live, I need to take an extra amount of time and reach out to that realtor to see what's going on with that property before I bring mine on live. I have to make that attempt. Hey, how many showings have you had? Have you had any offers? Do you have multiple offers? Where do you think the price is going to end up? Because in a really, really changing, fast changing market, sometimes our statistics today are not 100% accurate. It's better to find out real live stuff that hasn't become a statistic yet.
Yep, I agree with that. And that goes back to not just communicating with your client, but also communication amongst brokers and helping each other out, right? And being able to say, hey, well, here's what's going on. Here's what's happening. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, Michael, I wanted to real quick, you mentioned it and it's worth kind of goes along with Nick, and that's a part of it's the market versus what you think. If you're focused on what the market is telling us and that's your language, people are more likely to stay with you through the changing market than if I just say, here's what I think, because now they're going to go find an agent or that thinks differently.
Right.
But if it's the market, and I remember the only thing I have to add on that, my mom said it all the time. She was a top listing broker, and she would say, you know, I'm really concerned the market isn't accepting your price. So the market isn't accepting your price. She never said, I think you're overpriced, right? I think we need a price reduction. It was the market is not accepting your price. And here's what the market is indicating we need to do. And so I love that ties into what you said earlier.
Right. And I think another word that comes to mind too, as I just was talking about this the other day, is instead of using the word unfortunately, the market has shifted. We say, as it turns out. As it turns out, looking at the market data today, things have changed slightly, right? And so again, it goes back to the beginning of what we talked about is the words we choose to use that turn into a negative or a positive narrative. So as it turns out, things have shifted a little bit. We need to regroup and talk. Going back to what Nick said, let's have clear communication. And I want to say this. So for the people listening that are with Windermere Real Estate, a couple things to think about. So we've talked about a lot of things. So let's talk a little bit about tools that are available to you. Matthew Gardner, an economist, the Matthew Gardner Reports, the Mondays with Matthew, reach out. You know, you can even email him and he's happy to respond to you. Let's talk about the tools on the Windermere Hub, things like the Windermere Ready program. That's a phenomenal tool to help you have more value in this time with your clients, the sellers that are going to get their home in the best condition that it can be in. Let's talk about in our areas where we have trend graphics to show what's happening, what's trending. Moxie Engage Present, are you using a CMA tool, right? Are you tapping into Ninja? Are you using the education that we have to help you better understand how to use our tools and to articulate that value to your clients? And then last but not least, you guys, coaching. Oh my gosh. I mean, the stuff we're talking about right now, these are the things that we're doing on a daily and weekly basis with our coaching clients. They're bringing situations to us and we're brainstorming and saying, hey, here's how you can show up and provide a higher level of service, a higher level of value to your client so that you can be at the top of the game in this industry, no matter what market we're in, right? Anything you guys want to add to that?
I would add a HomeBot and Keeping Current Matters. You might've said Keeping Current Matters already, but I think HomeBot, those are great, again, great tools that give a lot of great information to sellers, homeowners in general, but.
Yeah, I you know what I think about and specifically in the Windermere network is you got a lot of players that do a lot of listings. And talk to one of your members. Someone that's in your office more than likely is an amazing resource to check in with. I mean, that's part of why you're with the W is the culture and the sharing and play nice in the sandbox. And guess what? You can go a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you guys, I want to thank you for doing this today. I think this is some good content. And like I said, if anybody has questions about what we talked about today, you can reach out to any one of us. I will put our contact information in the show notes. My email address is fanny@windermere.com. Doug, yours is?
dsimcock@windermere.com.
And Nick?
Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N-R-E, coaching@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. And then all of you, if you're interested in any coaching with us, you can just go to simply windermerecoaching.com. We've got a great executive admin there, Sarah, and she will be able to help you to kind of point you in the right direction to see who might work for you. And we always like to end these like we always do by saying be awesome and help somebody and make it a great day. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, everybody.
We just wanted to thank you for listening to Ask a Coach, the Windermere podcast. If you found our content helpful, please feel free to share it. And we always end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody and make it a great day.